In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. When you look through ancient literature, it's easy to identify themes that are common with modern philosophy and modern gurus. For example, one of the ancient Greek thinkers, reflecting upon the cycle of nature, and particularly interesting to the Greeks was spring, concluded that in the end, death won out. And so on his tombstone, he had this epitaph inscribed: "Here lies Epimenides. I never married, and I wish my father never had." I doubt if seminarians have ever felt that way, but it's a common attitude in our culture that ultimately death wins out. Indeed, about a week ago when it was a little warmer, I was jogging around campus, and at the rear entrance, several utility men were digging some of the main water mains. And one of them, as I ran by, said, "Hi, how are you?" And in a moment, I said, "You know, be careful where you dig, because we bury a recalcitrant seminarians back here." And I must have sounded convincing, because he paused and looked around at the hole and wasn't sure, and then I assured him that that wasn't the case. Ultimately, though, we live in a culture that is a culture of death, isn't it? Whether you listen to Carl Sagan, who announces that it's the cosmos that carries the narrative that is important and lasting, or if you see many die yet unborn, many now in elderly moments actually slain, it's a culture of death. And it has been a culture of death since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. On this day of the Annunciation, we see the place where the culture of life is restored. Here in this announcement of the angel Gabriel comes life into death that will bestow life upon all who will have it. In the seed of the woman, in the humble seed of this unknown maiden Mary, there now enters the life that was promised already to Adam and Eve, a life that would reverse the curse of death, that would conquer death and announce to all the very bosom of the Father, where life would live forever in God's people. You know, medieval artists tried to capture this moment, and one of the icons that I came across in looking over this text beautifully preserves, amid a more subdued light, a ray of pure, sparkling, invigorating light that radiates over the shoulder of Gabriel towards the Virgin Mary and towards her womb. The artist who compiled that portrait announces that that light is the light that marked creation in Genesis 1 and 2. That light that was forever darkened because the shadow of death would cover it now penetrates, and in the womb of Mary finds a light that would shine out into all the world. That light is what you and I have experienced in our baptism. In union with Christ, we have been restored to life and the fullness of God that we could have never perceived in the world around us. Moreover, as we prepare to announce His name, we will bear that ray of light with the purity of God's saving will into all this dying world. And think what a pleasure and a privilege it is to announce life in a culture of death, and to announce it in the name of Christ, who will bestow upon us His perfect holiness, his perfect communion with God through his holy suffering and death. Our way to Jerusalem this day is marked by birth, by the announcement of Christ's birth. Because in the mystery of God's will, this birth meant death, but beyond that death, it meant life that would go on. And when we, with God's people, rejoice in and confess Christ's name, that light radiates to us, because it's Christ's life. In the gospel, on the table where our Lord comes to give the bread of life and the water of life, we see his flesh. His incarnation is the great reversal, so that when we are buried with those who know life. For whoever believes in him shall never die. How can we, as God's people, and particularly as his messengers and pastors, hold that up? How can we renew an appreciation and hold before this world his life in its fullness? Surely it is in his way. No other way can do it. It's in these holy words that are penned by Luke that we capture the character of God's redemptive purpose. He will not move in ways that seek to manipulate people. He will not entertain people with great stellar spectaculars. He will come to a maiden as he promised, and he will be born that we might never die. The Annunciation is rightly our epitaph. When Gabriel announces this birth, he announces our birth. May we rejoice in its life and in its light. And more than that, may we reflect in the joy, the profound humility that we find in this incarnation, this taking of the flesh, our hope and our very certainty, and communicate that to people with all the gusto, with all the creativity, with all that we can muster as God's people. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.